This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and so we are in a series entitled The ABCs of Faith. The ABCs of Faith. And this series has been designed to give you an understanding of how faith works. Faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved. Of course, we know that Jesus is in him dying and shedding his blood, John 3:16, that is the most important subject in the Bible. But after I'm saved, how do I walk out this Christian life? How am I to live a victorious life? And that is why I have to learn the word of faith. Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how, class? By faith." 1 John 5:4 says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So it is our faith that's going to cause us to overcome. It is our faith that's going to cause us to thrive in life. And so we said that faith, our definition, has been that it is a spiritual law. So just like there's natural laws, there's spiritual laws, and they allow us to tap into the supernatural power of God so we can access the promises of God and bring them into manifestation in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I am about results. Like, if the word works, I want to see the word work. And we know that the word works, and to the degree that we apply in faith, we will get results. We said that faith doesn't make things easy, it just makes them possible, and you have to understand that. Look at your neighbor and say, "He's just reviewing, he's just reviewing." We also said that there were five justifiable expectations when I'm standing in faith. So when I'm standing in faith, I'm not just a hoping and a praying that maybe something might happen. No, I have five justifiable expectations. And so when any time I'm about to endeavor on anything in faith, number one, I need a plan of action, because faith without a plan is no good. Number two, I need the wisdom of God. I need for God to give me the correct application of knowledge I need for the situation that I'm in. And James says, if you need wisdom, all you got to do is ask of God. And then number three, we need the favor of God. And that is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you prosper in life. When you are in faith for something and you are heading in a direction, God will raise up people, as the case may be, that you don't even know, to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you get the result you're believing for. You got it. And then number four, we see that need a miracle, because we believe in the supernatural. And that way, if God wants to perform a miracle, he can perform a miracle. And then number five, strength to endure until change comes. I think that's one of the biggest ones, because a lot of times we begin to learn the process of faith and we begin to work the process of faith. But watch this. Everything about God is a process unless it's a miracle. If it's a miracle, it's instantaneous. But most of the times, things don't happen overnight. They happen over time. So you have to have strength to endure until change comes. Well, I taught you the ABCs of faith, that when I'm moving in a certain direction, I've got to ask, I've got to believe, I've got to confess, I've got to demonstrate, and then I've got to expect, right? Yeah. And so anyways, and if you need to hear those in length, just go back to WLCConline.com. Everything we teach is up there, and so you can just go back, and you'll see the series. There's graphs. It's beautiful. And so, you know, if you need to listen to the word, just go to the website. Amen. All right. And so so let me just talk about where we're headed as far as this series. So where we're headed, I need to teach you a few more things before I can get out of this series. All right. I'm going to have to teach you on the law of confession to make sure that you are speaking life, not some of the time, but all of the time. Right. And then I'm going to teach you today on giving in faith, because a lot of us are givers, but I want to make sure that you are giving in faith and really have your faith set for the promised blessing. You got it. There's maybe some in the room or online who are not givers. So this lesson will help you to get an understanding of the word of God so that you can do it in your life. Then there's some in the room that are givers, but we just give sometimes. So we're inconsistent in our giving. And so the goal for you is to get consistent in your giving and watch what God does in your life. You know, because let's be honest, if you're saved, you got it, and you've heard the word on this, we already know giving's right. Isn't that right? So if we don't give, it's because there's probably some type of fear of giving. Fear that it's not going to work. Fear that I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. You know, fear because the enemy comes in and tells me all these things. And fear is the opposite of faith. The Bible says faith cometh by and hearing by. Yeah, and so it's important that I teach you the word of God as it relates to giving so you have faith to give and experience all sufficiency in all things because giving is not just about getting money back. Does that make sense? No, giving puts me in covenant with God. It causes me to have all sufficiency in all things. And this is why I want to challenge every person under the sound of my voice in this room and online to give and to give God's way, to do it God's way, to bring the actual tithe, you got it, which is the tenth, not the sixth or the eighth or the fourth, but actually bring the tithe, to give in faith, everybody say consistently, and watch what God does in your life, all right? 2 Corinthians, the ninth chapter, in the sixth verse, we're going to pick it up there, and I'm thinking I'm reading in the Amplified. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. No, I think I told you Amplified, but I think I'm reading KJV, but that's on me, that's not on you, all right? Just because my theologians are going to be like, that is not right, all right? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully, every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound, and that's how we read that scripture. And that is why we don't really pull the revelation as it is, because I've heard preachers preach this, and I've heard it since I was a little boy or a little girl. You got, but if you're not applying it in your life and getting results, you've never allowed that to really get into your heart, receive faith for it, and apply it in faith so you can get the promised results. So watch what happens when we really understand. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap how? He which soweth bountifully shall reap how? So if you give a little back, if you give a little, that's what God works with. If you give a lot, that's what God works with, right? Every man according as he purposed in his heart. You have to purpose in your own heart to give. Pastor's never going to get up here and play any games. I'm not going to prophesy, and I'm not going to pressure you. You understand? I'm going to give you the word of God. I'm going to give you opportunity. If you have ever heard anybody say any other things about us and giving and money, it's all a lie. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't waste my time on that stuff. If it's a lie, let it lie. I got too much word to teach to make sure that you live an amazing life than to be shooting down lies. Isn't that right? You got it. If you shoot down lies, you just be average. But if you forget that stuff, you can go to the above average life. Does that make sense? So you have to purpose in your own heart because pastor's not going to make it. You got nobody's going to call you. There has to be a conviction. He says, so let him give. So let him give. You got a purpose in your heart, and then you have to do it. But when you do it, don't have a bad attitude, not grudgingly or of necessity. Well, I'm only doing it because I need God to hurry up and do something to take care of me. No, no, no. I'm giving out of a heart of gratitude because God has already been good to you. Does that make sense? Right? And watch this. For God loveth a what? A mean giver. It didn't say mean, did it? Huh, take it. You got it. God said, no, you can keep it. Yeah, right, all right. So, you know, if I had time to talk about the whole Cain and Abel thing, that's the problem. Yeah. One gave cheerfully and one didn't give cheerfully, right? So, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you that you always having, it's the will of God for you to always have, all right? All sufficiency in all things and not just money. This is why wealthy people who are millionaires and billionaires must give, because it's not just about give. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. For you to understand giving, you have to understand this is a spiritual principle. This is not a natural principle, got it? And so you have to be spiritual to understand that when I give, it's a spiritual transaction that is taking place. And it's not about me giving God some money and then he giving me some back. If that's the case, just go down to the casino. You got it? You may work and may not work. But no, this is guaranteed because it's the word of God. Does that make sense? and you have all sufficiency in all things, not just money. Giving puts me in covenant with God where there's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in my life. Because I'm a giver, my life is supposed to be whole. My marriage is supposed to be whole. My body is supposed to be healed. My mind is to function the way it's designed to. My business should flow even when I'm not there. Does that make sense? It's the total package. It's everything. And that is what people don't understand. And that's why people don't give, because they just figure I'm giving. Well, I don't really need to give because I'm good. I kind of got enough. You got it. You might have enough money, but there's some areas in your life that you need God. Does that make sense? And giving causes, the Bible says it, not pastor, all sufficiency in all things. All right. But pastor, I don't have much. Start with what you have and watch it grow. And it's real important, because I'll be very honest with you, just very honest with you. I had a conversation with the Holy Spirit because I wanted to teach you on the law of confession today. You understand? Because I've been working on that lesson, and I'm going to teach it. You got it? But I don't know why, but I don't know if I don't. God knew who was going to be here today and knew that you needed to hear this to help you in your walk, all right? So here's the thing, that God wants to be first in every area of your life, including finances. You got it? He wants to be at the top of the list, all right? How many happily married couples do I have in the house, all right? All right, all right, all right. Okay, so all my wives, all my ladies, let me talk to you. No, not my wives. All the ladies, let me talk to you. This is not the Old Testament, praise the Lord. You know, your brothers think they want it. You ain't rich enough for all that. But anyways, not if you're going to take care of your wife the way you're supposed to. One is enough. Praise the Lord, all right? All right, okay. If you don't believe it, brother, just ask her. It's something she won't. And that's okay. There ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, I'm going to just leave it alone. I don't want to get you in no trouble. To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, all right? Do you or do you not want to be at the top of the list when it comes to your husband? You want to be at the top of the list, right? Yeah, you want to be what his priority. Isn't that right? But let's flip that thing. All the brothers in the house, if we will be honest, when it comes to our wives, you got it? I know we men, and we're masculine, and we're woo, macho, and all those kind of things. You got it? But truth be told, we also want to be at the top of the list when it comes to our wives. You got it? Yeah, and so because it goes both ways. So, you know, ladies, you can't just, he'll be all right. No, he wants to be at the top of your, he wants you to check on him too. He wants you to rub his back at night, too. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, man, I'm so blessed. I have zero complaints when it comes. Y'all see my post I put for Lady on Facebook? Man, I love that girl. You know, did something happen? No. I just thought about her. And I thought about how blessed I am, you got it, to be married to her and be partners in life and in crime and in ministry together. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And so you know, people ask me, I say, I have zero complaints. Zero. She like God, she supplied all my needs and even above my needs. Does that make sense? And that's the way marriage is supposed to be. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I got 14 claps out of 100 people in the house, 200, 300 people in the house. All right. So just like, watch this now, just like I want to be at the top of ladies' list, and just like Lady wants to make sure that she's at the top of my list, how much more does God want to make sure that he's at the top of all of our lists? Does that make sense? Yeah, in our relationship with him. That is why in the morning you should pray. You should acknowledge God in the morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? You got it? Thank him for keeping you. I mean, the first thing I do, you know, when I pray, Father, I thank you that this is the day that you made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in. You know, that is my introduction anytime I pray, right? You know, and then I thank him for keeping me. Well, Jay is different now. His time zone is different. So when we're asleep, he's up. So I had to change my prayer. Thank you for keeping me, you know, Conte and Hannah, you know, protected as we sleep at night, and how you protected Jay today. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because I'm going to say it the right way. Oh, God know what you mean. No, he knows what I said. You got it. And so what happens is God, he wants to be at the top of our list. And he wants to be at the top of our list. He wants to be first in every area of our lives, including finances. He, watch this. He wants to know that he's at the top of the list. When I acknowledge him in the morning, he now knows he's at the top of my list. When something good happens and I immediately give him thanks, he knows he's at the top of my list. So the question is, what about every time I get paid or every time I get increased? Don't answer this question, but can you honestly say that when it comes to giving, when it comes to finances, can you honestly say that God is at the top of your list? I mean, if he's at the top of my list in other areas, how many would agree he should be at the top of our list in that area? Matthew 6 and 21 is a powerful verse. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So in other words, you watch this, we can look at our bank accounts and tell where our hearts are. Does that make sense? We can look at our bank account. Let's say you get paid on the 1st and on the 15th. You got it? You can get paid on the 1st and you have to ask yourself, do you have to ask yourself the question, can I see God in any transaction? Or can you say, I see God at the top? You got it. You know, and the Bible talks about every time we get increases. So I don't care if it's birthday money, somebody just thought about me and wanted to cash at me and be a blessing. You got it. I'm always going to give first to God. Giving first to God shows my heart toward him and that I've made him a priority in my life. All right. Whether you know it or not. Matter of fact, did I have you check your neighbors down the aisle? Check your neighbor down the aisle, wave at them, make sure everybody's good, smile, you got it. Make sure nobody's sleeping. Some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right, whether you know it or not, you take a test every time you get paid. Did you know that? The test is whether you are going to thank God for your income and increase and whether you are going to show God he is priority, he is the first in your life, all right? Malachi 3 and 6, a very a familiar passage of scripture. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version, and I want you to follow with me because I want you to help me with this scripture. Y'all ready to help me? He says, for I am the Lord. What are those next four words? I do not change. Okay, you need to remember that. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. And that's because he does not change. He made a promise with their forefathers. And even though they're not doing right, because God made a promise with them, they're safe. All right? He says, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them, all right? He says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts, says the God who does not change. He says, but you said, in what way shall we return? He asks a question. Anytime God's asking a question, it's not because he doesn't know, he's about to teach you something. He says, will a man rob God? He says, yet ye have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? And then God says, got it, in tithes and offerings. He says, you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. When you understand that word curse does actually not mean that you're going to die. You understand what I'm saying? But it means that when you're under the curse, that the devourer can come in and suck up your money and cause it to go fast and those kind of things, all right? And then he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that's the local church, that there may be food. Oh, I give to somebody online who's doing good. That's not giving tithe. Because the Bible says you give tithe into the storehouse, which is the local church, that there may be food in my house, the church, and try me or prove me. This is the only place in Scripture where God says you can test him. You cannot test God in any other place in Scripture except this place, right? You can be a giver, and when you need something, you can go to God and say, okay, God, Lord, I need this in my life. And God, I am a giver. I give consistently my tithe. I give my offering. I give big giving. You understand? And he says, remind me of your merits. Let us reason together. And so this is the only place in Scripture that you can actually test God. He says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing. Notice it didn't say blessings, because the blessing is the anointing to prosper. When I tithe, it brings me the blessing, which is the anointing to prosper, that gives me all sufficiency in all things. All right. So it is an anointing of favor and increase on my life. So it doesn't matter if I'm going for the job. It doesn't matter if I'm trying to make a transaction happen or I just need mortgage money. You got it? It covers it all. He says, such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer. You got it? You're not going to be under the curse. He will not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall the vine fail to bear fruit in your field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you what? Blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I was reading that again this morning, and watch this. If someone is to look at you and call you blessed, that must mean that they can see you're blessed. Does that make sense? And it's the order of God for us who are God's children to give God the first, the tithe, watch this, and have the blessing come on us, and people know that there's something on our lives, there's something about us. You got it? Because see, you got to understand, it's so much more than, because see, there's people that have money, but they struggle all the time. But when you walk in covenant with God, you could have money and God will take the struggle away. It's the whole all sufficiency in all things. You understand what I'm saying? So it's more than just money. You got it? There's people, I personally know guys that I can text right now who have multi-millions of dollars sitting liquid in the bank. You got to know people like this. They don't have any peace. But watch this. Because I'm a giver, I'm in covenant with God. So yeah, I got money too, but I got peace. I don't have the struggle. Does that make sense? And the Lord really wanted me to take my time. You got, because I just come off the road, y'all. I was ready to just come in here, you got it, and just go at it. You got it? But I knew the Lord wanted me to take my time and say, get them to understand being in covenant with me. Get them to understand the all sufficiency in all things is not just about money, but it is in when they are in covenant with me, even when their children are anywhere, other part of the state or other part of the world, because they are in covenant with me, I am going to take care of their children because there's a covenant I have with them. Watch this. Some of y'all ain't going to like this. Some of you, but it's true. Even if their children or grandchildren are not doing right, because God is in covenant with you, he's going to take care of them. No, I don't know about that, Pastor. The Bible, he just said in Malachi, he just said, because of your fathers, I didn't wipe you out. Because I got a covenant with your mama and your daddy. I got a covenant with your grandmama and your granddaddy. Come on, somebody. And you acting a fool now, but it's okay. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to protect you. God, because I'm reminded of the covenant that your mama and your daddy had. Oh, my God, today. Y'all understand? And when you get the revelation on giving, you can never beat God giving. I don't care how hard you try. As a matter of fact, when you start operating in the blessing, you never miss the 10%. You live better off the 90 blessed than you do the 100 curse. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? Man, that's good revelation right there. All right? And so he says, this is the God who cannot change. He says, you have gone away from my ordinances. Tithing was an ordinance. Pastor, what is an ordinance? Let me break it down for you. An ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. It was ordinary for the people of God to thank God for their income and their increase by giving the first, or sometimes you'll read it, the first portion. All right? And so it was ordinary behavior to show thanks and to show gratitude for God giving them the increase. Let's real quick talk about the argument, because some people, and I know you've heard this, if you've ever tried to, you know, don't look up tithing online. It will mess you up, all right? You know, just don't do that, all right? Tithing, you know, because there's a lot of crazy thoughts. And, you know, matter of fact, be careful online, period, all right? Let me just talk to you real quick in my 4 minutes and 48 seconds. I might have to take two or three, and I'm actually being serious because I want to finish this lesson. But ever since COVID, there's more and more preachers, apostles, prophets. They don't have no churches. They don't have no ministries. The only followings they have are because, you know, people see them, you know, and it sounds good. Because now what happened to the guy the other day saying that the names of God are not really the names of God. It was just an altar. Now, don't be listening to that foolishness. Okay, you got it. You know, if you really don't know, call the church. You understand what I'm saying? Like if it's, now you have to learn to do your own study. Pastor can't spend all day, you know. But if there's something you really need to know, you got it, and you don't know how to figure it out, between one of the staff members, you know, one of us, we'll be able to show you in Scripture what it really means. But be careful, you got it, at just because someone has zeal and flash, come on somebody, just because they, you know, they show you, and I'm not against nice stuff. I got nice stuff, so I ain't no fool, but just be careful. You got it. Just be careful about that, because if you're not careful, you'll follow something that's not God. Amen. Does that make sense? And besides, you got a good church with a good man and woman of God. You don't need all that no ways. Amen. You got it. You got it. You got to be careful that you never, people don't realize spirits and all that stuff is real. You got it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of good preachers out there that have been around for a long time that are solid. Watch them all you want. I don't care about that. I don't think I'm the only preacher. You got it. I don't have it all. And I get that. But what I'm saying, you never heard this guy, and he's saying something that don't make any sense. And then what they'll say is, the Scripture says this, but what God really meant was turn it off. Amen. Turn it off. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let me get off my soapbox. Praise the Lord. So this is the argument. Well, Pastor, tithing was part of the law, and I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. First of all, that's not true. Tithing was before the law. You got it. Abraham gave tithes. Hezekiah told the people to give tithes before the law. You got it. Of course, it was during the law, and then we even see it after the law. The biggest one was in Matthew, where Jesus tells us you ought to. He uses the word O-U-G-A-C, ought to pay tithes, all right, or give tithes, all right, so that's not true, because tithing was before, during, off. But let's just go that route. Let's just, for argument's sake, let's just go that route. It makes no sense, because there's a lot of things that are under the law that we should still follow. Do not kill was under the law. Now that we're under grace, are we saying we can go around killing folk? No. Do not commit adultery was under the law. Now that we're under grace, are we saying we can just go around and commit it? Of course not. If it was right under the law, are we saying that it's wrong under grace? God forbid. So there are a lot of things under the law that we should still do today. Does that make sense? All right. See, giving can become difficult for people if they don't realize it's God's plan. All right. I think I gave you all these. It's difficult to give when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. I must have confidence that God's plan works better than mine. God's plan for me every time, and see, this is what you got to do. Every time, this is why you got to get secure, give, and do it right away, because if you don't, the devil is going to talk you out of it. Get secure, give, and the moment you see that direct deposit hit or whatever, go right on to secure, give. You got it, and give the first. Give the, and watch this, and as you start doing it, maybe not overnight, but over time, you're going to start seeing this work out and see this work out, and then you let about 6 months go by, and you'll be like, man, everything's been working out, and then the Holy Spirit will remind you, yes, 6 months ago, you made a commitment based on conviction that you're going to start doing it God's way, and now you are just starting to enter into the all-sufficiency in all things. Does that make sense? See, God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. See, this is a faith church. You got it? And you guys have come a long way. But when I was praying the other day, the Lord said, son, I need you to push them. Don't pressure them, but I need you to push them and understand it is time to start living. He said it's time to start driving cars that are already paid for. It's time to start living in houses that are already paid for. See, a lot of times we don't allow our faith to go that far. And it's the only, so we got faith to pay the mortgage, no problem. You understand? And thank God, every month your mortgage is paid. But God said, if they would just press in, you got it, and start believing, Father, I thank you that this house is paid and paid in full. I own no man, nothing but love. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? You know, but Pastor, I bought it 6 months ago. The same God. Oh my God. Do you not know? Well, so you have to understand, watch this, to God, there is no difference, watch this now, and you paying off, you go to the Nike store and get you some, what's them shoes that are expensive now? They're the Yeezys? Yeah, what are they, $200? Yeah, that's a lot of money to me. I don't know about you. I mean, you said, Pastor, you got money. That's still a lot of money for some sneakers, praise the Lord. right? So just like you go and buy some Yeezys with ease, you got it, and you pay them $200, $250, you have to get to the point where I'm planning for my next car. And when I go in, I'm not going in that little cubicle. I've been saving some money. I've been working on something. And I'm just going to write the check, and I'm just going to be debt-free in that area. And you got it. And then you start believing, Father, like, my wife and I, we bought our dream house 2 years ago. The moment I walked into it, I had a plan and I had a declaration for total and complete debt freedom for that house. I am 46 years old. You got it. I have, based on a 30-year mortgage, I have 28 more years to go for it to be paid. But I told Lady, baby, by the time I'm 50, that's only 4 years. Listen, we are declaring that our house is going to be totally paid off. You got it. If I never release faith for it, it's never going to come to pass in my life. Does that make sense? Listen, y'all, this is not a negative statement, this is just true. When Lady and I, first got married, we were doing okay because I was in the military, she was working, I got out, landed a job, it was a really good job, I couldn't work late at night, had to let it go, took a job making $6.25 an hour, we were capital B-R-O-K-E. Amen. She just said, yes, we were. Let everything be established by two or more witnesses. And when we were B-R-O-K-E, I learned the word of faith. I learned now my father had taught me how to tithe, you got it. So thank God for my dad who taught. But what happens is I did it because my dad told me to do it and it worked. But watch this, I had to learn how to release faith for the promised blessing. I had to take it. Thank God for what my dad instilled in me, so I had no problem giving it. But what happened is when my pastor Taylor, began to teach it, I said, oh, okay, man, it opened my eyes, kind of like I'm teaching you the all-sufficiency in all things. It's not just about getting a little bit of money back. And so in my broke days, I'm making my own confessions, walking through my little house that was rented, you got it, with a little carport, you got it. We couldn't buy one of the houses, we couldn't rent one of them houses with a garage. They were too much money, praise the Lord. So we got one with a carport, praise the Lord. You got it? But I would walk through that house, you got it, and I would declare all of our needs are met according to heaven's best. We eat the best. We wear the best. We live in the best. We drive the best. We go first class in life, and then when I would go to the marriage, I say, Father, I declare that LaCante and I, we are total agreement and unity. We talk about how we're an unstoppable force, and then I say we never fuss, we never bicker, we never argue. We are truly in love. We are walking in our wealthy place. We are millionaires. You got it? Watch this. And watch this. It was funny saying it, making $6.25 an hour. But I understood that my situation wouldn't change the word, but the word of God would change my situation. And to the degree I kept saying what the word says and saying what the word, I would see the word. Watch this. And because I was a giver, I was able to go to God and say, God, I need favor, and I am a giver. It might only be on the $6.25 in an hour and the $10 an hour that she was making, you got it? But we're giving you the first, the tithe, and we're giving you offering, you got it? And I give my man of God $20, you understand? Like, I'm trying to really work this thing, you got it? And so I put myself in a place of righteous expectation. It's 10:21, but y'all just give me 5 more minutes and I'm going to close, because I want to show this to you, because this ain't on my script. We just going to let this thing go. There is righteous expectation, and then there's unrighteous expectation. Can I be honest with y'all? Y'all know I love y'all, right? But I just got to tell y'all the truth. Listen, when you ain't living right, I love you, God love you, but when you ain't living right and you going around committing adultery, fornicating, you all up in the club, you smoking the reefer, you dropping it like it's hot, you cussing folk out, you ain't giving God a lot to work with. Does that make sense? I'm not being mean. I ain't saying God don't love you. I'm just saying you ain't giving God a lot to work with. Because sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers you shouldn't pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this one, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me. I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. It ain't but 10:22 in the morning. You understand what I'm saying? And you do that coupled with, I'm not giving to God. Because I believe when you live right and you give right, and I don't think God is looking for perfection, but I do think he's looking for progress. Does that make sense? You got it? And so what happens is when I'm not living right and I'm not giving right, watch this, it is an unrighteous expectation for me to say, Father, bless me, open the windows of heaven, because he says he opens the windows of heaven to those that give. that to those that give the first. Isn't that right? Didn't we just read that? But watch this. But when I make it up in my mind, God, I'm going to do it your way. Sometimes the favor that you're not seeing is tied into either the way you're living or the fact that you're not giving. I'm telling you. Jeremiah 5:25, your sins have withholding these good things from you. I know somebody could get mad at me, somebody could leave, but the Bible says that I watch for your souls and that I have to give an account one day in heaven. So it's important that in love, I tell you the truth. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm not fussing. Y'all know I ain't fussing. But I'm not going to lie to you either. I have told you all my life that the reason I believe Lady and I are here is because we live right and we give right. You got it. Some people do not like us. We don't talk about that. Some people hate us. Bible says jealousy is cruel as the grave. And one thing that they really hate is they can't find nothing on us. Well, we've been here 16 years, and I'm not saying we're perfect, but we ain't doing no foolish stuff neither. We have made a conviction, a commitment that we're going to do it God's way. And when you do it God's way, you're going to get God results. So it would be wrong of me as a man of God to tell you, you can just live any kind of way and then his grace is just sufficient and he loves you anyhow. Yes, he loves you anyhow. But there's some things that you are not going to experience if you're not doing it God's way. That is the bottom line. That's a good place to clap in the house and you almost missed it. We better go home, Maestro number two. Yeah. You felt the tension in the air too. Okay, praise the Lord. No, forget the rest of it. You got the revelation. Unrighteous expectation, righteous. Because I live right and because I give right, I have this righteous expectation that anytime I need anything from God, not just the things I need, but the things I want. If I could get you to understand the revelation that God is never trying to get something from you, he's just trying to get something to you. And you have to stop looking at God as just a need supplier. God says, yes, I want to supply your needs. He said, but I want to give you your wildest dreams. I want to give you the things that you want. And when I live right and when I give right, watch this, it puts me in a place, watch this, the money gonna come, but forget that right now. It puts me in a place of peace. It puts me in a place where God takes the struggle out of life. It puts me in a place, and I know God does this, where God removes people from my life that aren't good for me, and he surrounds people around me that are good for me. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't even have to worry about it because God is taking care. And so what happens, I just live my life. I love everybody. I do the right thing. You got it. And all of a sudden, this person ain't close to me. And then you got it. But don't worry about it, son. You got it. You just keep your eyes on me, the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm going to put the people around you that need to be around you, but I'm also going to push the people away from you that need it. And in your life, that's what God does. He puts the people around you that needs to be around you, and he pushes the people away that are not good for you, that are not good for your destiny and for your future. Man, this young man is teaching up in here. All right, in closing, before we pray, here's Deuteronomy. I set before you life, living right, giving right, getting along with people, you got it? Or death, you got it? Cheating on your spouse. You ain't married, but you're fornicating. You got it. You just causing all kind of strife and you're lying on folk for no reason. Getting people in trouble. They ain't even you just saying they did stuff that they didn't even do on the job. Just because you don't like them. Life and death. And God is not going to make you do either one because he's giving you your own will, but he's giving you his word. And he says, hey, look, the word is life, Zoe. And so he said, I've set before you life, and I've set before you death. I've set before you blessings, and I've set before you curses. He said, nobody, if God ain't going to make you do it, Pastor Show ain't going to make you do it. He said, but if I was you, Deuteronomy says, I would choose life. Watch this, that you and your seed may live. I know for a fact that Jay and Hannah will be good all the days of their life because their mama and their daddy live right and give right and treat people right and have committed their lives. Come on, somebody. I know it. But it doesn't stop there. You got it? Got it? You know. Nah, I ain't ready for grandbabies yet. Lady might be, but I ain't ready for grandbabies. You know, she raising her. Nah, I ain't ready for that yet. All right, praise the Lord. But when Jay and Hannah get married, because they're going to get married first. That's my confession, that they married the right person the first time. When I make that confession over the babies, when we dedicate them, I pray that over y'all's children all the time. You know, that they would serve God at an early age. You got it? That they would find God's purpose in life. That they would remain sexually pure until they become married. And here's where you get hung up. Oh, Pastor, but mine already messed up. You know, they had sex. That's okay. We're going to start today. Do you not know? That's how the Word of God works. Don't get hung up over that stuff. They're going to make mistakes. Things going to happen. Just make sure you are there. Just make sure you're there to support them and love them in spite of what is going on. Because when they finally get it together, because they're going to, because the Bible says if you raise them up the way that they should go, when they're old, they will not depart. When they get a little bit older and get it together, they're going to remember, man, mom and daddy, they didn't give up on me. They didn't throw me away. They didn't stop talking to me. But they were right there. They knew I was wrong, but they loved me in spite of. They knew I was wrong. Hello, somebody. But they didn't make me feel weird. Man, I'm teaching in here this morning. So. Oh, man, just so much. Choose life and live. Everybody say, choose life and live. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big praise in the house. I could go on, but, man, there is an anointing in this church today. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed, believers are praying all over the building. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to pray and say, and I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me concerning this lesson that Pastor has taught? And I believe that God will talk to you in the area of your living and the area of your giving, how you live your life and how you give. I will never try to make you do anything. I'm never going to promise you something that God didn't say. I don't play games. You know, I'm not a money preacher. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I am a Bible preacher. I preach the Word of God. And today, I have given you sound doctrine in the Word of God as it relates to giving and a little bit of as it relates to how you should live your life. And if you will just make the adjustments in your life and start doing it God's way, I promise you, you're going to get God results. Now, you might have what they call short-term discomfort. I don't lie, because anytime you're used to living off the 100% and you start giving the 90, initially, it can, ooh, this is a little, I'm not used to this. We call that short-term discomfort, but if you just keep doing it and keep watering your seed with the word of your mouth, that's why we do a confession right behind our giving. You got it? And you start doing that, not overnight, but over time, man, you're going to start seeing the blessings of God show up in your life. You're going to start seeing more peace than you've ever seen before in your life. You're going to start getting the wisdom of God on some things for your life that you need. And it's all connected to your giving right and to your living right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. And I curse the spirit of condemnation, for you have not given us that spirit, Father, that comes from the devil. So I declare that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But there may be conviction, because conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we are convicted, I just thank you that we will respond to the conviction in a positive way and do things your way so we can get your results in our lives in Jesus' name. I thank you that today, those who are not tithers will start today. They won't leave this property until they tithe today. I thank you that those who give, but they're inconsistent. Sometimes they give and sometimes they don't. I thank you that today they're making the commitment that they're going to be consistent today for the rest of their lives. And Father, I thank you for every consistent giver in this house, that they will continue to mix their giving with faith and expect the supernatural far above what you've done. Thank you for the blessings that you blessed. But I'm declaring next level in their life, next level paying cars off, paying houses off, walking in total debt freedom. I thank you for transactions in the spirit realm that are big sums of money that are showing up in their lives in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that miracle money that you said. You didn't say we had to do anything. You didn't say if somebody give $1,000. You just said tell the people to believe for miracle money. And it's been showing up. And so, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. And every time we get increased, we will immediately respond by returning the first back to you as a sign of gratitude for everything you've done for us, and we thank you for it. I want everyone to pray this prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior in the room or online, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. And I'm telling you, if you're not saved, get saved today. You need Jesus. No man knows the time or the hour when the Son of Man shall return. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you've been caught up in some stuff. God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He loves you very much, and he's knocking on the door of your heart today. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online, and you just need to repent about some stuff. And as Christians, we make mistakes. We mess up. We fall short. See, repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line, so to speak. And so I want everyone to pray this. Now, if you want to join this amazing church, and I think that you should if you're not a member of this church, I think you need to go ahead and seal the deal today. Man, I just feel this boldness on me today. I don't know what it is, but there's like a boldness where I'm not trying to make you do something, but the Lord is really saying push them. Push them to get saved and give their life to Jesus today. Push them to start giving today. Push them to go ahead and join the church today. They've been teeter-tottering. Tell them today is the day. Today is the day that things change. Today is the day that things change in their life for the better forever. So if you want to join our church, all you have to do is get one of those connection cards, fill it out in its entirety, and then you can, ushers will have buckets, or you can take it to guest services. You can, if you're a first-time friend, take it to the first-time friends table. But if you're not connected, get connected today. All right, so let's pray this prayer. I want everyone in the room to repeat after me and online. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big praise all over the building?